he said Shaft in a really sexual, phallic way too.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a kind of a funny guy.
He probably got a lot of looks.
They didn't question it because he was a statistician and he's like, he's a nerd. That's no true. Way did he mean that sexually.
Nerds aren't funny.
Nah. Or sexual.
Nerds don't get funny for another 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody, and my name is sometimes Steve.
And what is it the other times?
Almost a Crypto King, Ace, Iceman, you know how it is.
So who are you really?
Who am I really?
Yeah. Who are you inside?
Mostly in my core.
Yeah.
I hate to do this.
What?
My mother says I'm her bright light, so I guess that's another nickname.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
I guess bright light. Bright light. Yeah.
That's what I'll call you then, if that's who you are to your core.
Just another Nick, I guess. Bright light. I'm stacking them up, see? See, I didn't give myself that one either.
I like to call you gaping asshole.
I don't get it.
Oh, we have a bit right now. It's not really a bit, though, because it's real. But Steve's butt is so big that it sucks up things around it. Like, things are in its orbit. And that's why we can't find things. Like, when the remote's missing, it's up Steve's gaping asshole. And when, like, you know, when he's looking for a cat, like, it's up his gaping asshole.
Usually up there, yeah.
Usually up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I hear in the house.
I tell him to look there first. And that's also why he's a never nude and never let me see his butt.
I'm being bullied and live bullied.
Hey,
as well.
Bright light. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay. So today we're talking about not Steve's asshole, but a topic that has gotten requested a lot. And usually this topic comes up when we're talking about successful people or following your dreams or overcoming failure or people that have been succeeding. What are you looking at?
Nothing, just making sure that we're recording.
Okay, good. Yeah, we filmed a whole episode and it wasn't recording and I'm really sad about it, and I'm just gonna let that out because my emotions are here and I want you to know about them.
And I asked Nikki where the episode went and she said it went up my gaping asshole, so I didn't appreciate that.
Exactly. It probably, you're so selfish. Check it once in a while.
I'll go look after the show.
Thank you.
But we should just save us a lot of time. It's not there.
Okay, so this is like the less good episode. This is the less good version of this episode. Yeah. This concept of survivorship bias gets brought up a lot. When we talk about those topics, people are like, yeah, but what about survivorship bias?
Yeah.
So today we're going to explore survivorship bias.
This is the second time you've brought it up to me today.
This is the second, but pretend it's the first. So it comes because
up,
I need it.
It comes up a lot.
I need it. So before, in the other episode, the good episode, Steve didn't know what survivorship bias was.
I told
was,
this great joke, though.
And it was awesome. Oh, and so we good. Laughed.
Oh, my God.
I made a Game of Thrones joke.
Oh, and I high-fived you.
Yeah. Well, not really.
Well, and then we both said Khaleesi.
Okay. Now he's just going to silly town.
No,
but
that's true. That's true.
Survivorship bias. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to talk about, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you where it kind of got popularized, and then I'll tell you its common day use and my thoughts on it. Okay, we're gonna explore that.
All right.
So survivorship bias, according to Wikipedia, it's also known as survival bias. It is the logical error of concentrating on the people or things that made it past some selection process and overlooking those that did not, typically because of their lack of visibility. This can lead to some false conclusions in several different ways. It is a form of selection bias. Okay.
Agreed.
Well, now you know what it is. Yeah, okay, I'm going to talk to you. Like, I'm going to talk to you guys, like, because you don't know yet, or maybe you do. But here's how it kind of got popularized. It's been around for a long time, this concept of survivorship bias, but it wasn't super well known until around World War II. So during World War II, the Air Force was having a pretty shitty survival rate of their planes. If I may say.
You can say that.
I mean, I've had zero planes go out to war and return, so maybe I can't say, but they had a 50% survival rate. So if you go out, like, you know, you have a 50% chance of coming back home to your family. The people around you, you know, one out of two of them is not coming home. Fucking sucks, wow. Right? So the Air Force was like, how do we save our soldiers more? Let's, like, beef up our planes and make them better so that we could bring more people back home, which is great. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Air Force. So, of World War II Air Force.
They're like, how do we do this, though? Because a plane needs to fly. We can't just beef up the whole thing because it'll be too heavy. It won't fly. So what they did was they looked at all of the planes that came back from the war and they drew a chart of where the bullets seem to get hit. And I'll show you a picture of that right now. And Mark, I'm going to send you this picture. Remind me so that the people on YouTube can see it. But here is the picture of that. And Steve, just answer me like you did the first time. Okay. Yeah. So you see where all of these bullets are.
And they hit everything.
For those of you audio listeners, they're mostly in the center of the plane, the tips of the wings, and the tips of the tail. Like the tail gets really hit. Yeah. But the cockpit isn't getting hit. And this like tail part, like
the fuselage.
The what's it called?
The stem?
I was trying to make a phallic joke and I couldn't remember what a dick is called, like the part, the shaft. There you go.
That's good.
Thank you. I'm drinking. I'm having this Cosmo because I need it. Okay. Yes. But yeah, so they looked at this chart and they're like, holy shit, look at all these places the bullets got hit. Oh my God. Okay. So obviously when you look at this, you would think these are the weaker spots.
So they wanted to armor these weak spots.
Let's put armor on these weak spots.
Okay.
And then our planes will come home because they won't get hit with as many bullets in those spots. Right. Okay. And they had a whole plan. And they were like, we're going to beef up our fucking planes. We're going to save so many people.
Love it.
And then this statistician, who was one of the best statisticians of his time, was like, hold up. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's take another look. And he looked at this plane and he was like, and this was like a lot of people. Like there were a lot of people. There's engineers. There was a mathematician team. There were so many people. The whole government was involved in this. So like they were set on this plan. And he's like, wait, did I say his name yet? His name is Abraham Wald.
Okay.
Abraham Wald was like, yo. Okay. I'm a statistician. And I'm best of my time, by the way. And what you guys are doing is you're just looking at the planes that returned back from the war. You're not looking at all the planes that crashed, meaning that this plane survived all of these bullets and still made it back home. I would say that those parts are pretty strong.
Right.
Maybe we should beef up the other parts, like the cockpits, the propellers, the shaft of the tail. He said shaft in a really sexual, phallic way, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he was kind of a funny guy.
He probably got a lot of looks.
They didn't question it because he was a statistician and he's like, he's a nerd.
That's
no way did he mean that sexually.
Nerds aren't funny.
Nah. Or sexual.
Nerds don't get funny for another 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he's serious here. Oh, I'll put it on the shaft then. And that's what they said. They were like, oh, shit. We need to beef up those other parts.
That makes sense.
So they did that instead and their survivability rate went up. Wouldn't you know it? And then popularized the survivorship bias.
I see.
So he started examining other areas, like other industries where possibly survivorship bias had skewed data, you know? Like, and it happened a lot in business because people were only looking at the businesses that succeeded because the businesses that failed would just be gone. Like, you wouldn't see them again. You couldn't study them. They were gone.
Right.
So it made it seem like if you were living in a town with a bunch of successful business, a bunch of successful restaurants, like say you're in Vegas, bunch of successful restaurants, mm-hmm. you might think like, oh, I should fucking start a restaurant. Like I should get into the restaurant industry.
Right.
It's booming here.
You make it here.
You know?
Yeah.
But actually you're not seeing all of the restaurants that didn't make it. So you're seeing the best of the best of the best,
yeah.
which makes it even more highly competitive in that area. Like you absolutely would not want to start a restaurant in that area, especially if you're brand new.
It's like seeing a horrible magic show in Vegas, but knowing that it's way worse than like Tulsa.
Exactly. You're like, this magic show is pretty meh.
Yeah.
I could get into magic.
Exactly.
Then you go to Tulsa and you're like, oh, I could really get into magic.
Yeah, you're like, wow, this guy really is not very good at magic.
Yeah.
So fuck all Tulsa magicians. Seriously. I mean that.
Yeah, we don't like them.
No, we don't like them.
They're
on the show. They don't tell you show. They're banned from listening
They're
to the
banned.
Show forever.
If you're a Tulsa magician, go fuck yourself.
You're fucking banned, actually. We actually banned you 5 seconds ago. Why aren't you gone yet, asshole?
Also, I'm sorry. Like, we're way more aggressive this episode because of whole, like, last episode.
We're just lashing out.
And I didn't mean to take it out on
Tulsa. We're psychologically lashing out because we are making up for our own vulnerabilities.
We're projecting. I'm sorry.
We apologize to Tulsa magicians.
Anyway, another area it shows up in restaurants is the surveys. So, like, reviews of restaurants, they were noticing there was a huge gap between 1-star reviews and 5-star reviews. There was no 3-star reviews.
Is it as big as the gap in my asshole?
Not quite.
How big would
you say? I don't think anything could be.
I see. Okay.
I haven't measured it yet. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting, though.
It's like okay.
That helps me visualize.
You know, when they're like, how many centimeters is she dilated? Uh-huh. Like, I imagine, like, you could birth a 2-year-old
You could break hospital instruments trying to measure it.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay, that helps me visualize it. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. When they were analyzing data, they were like, oh shit, there's only really good restaurants and really bad restaurants. There's no in between.
Right.
Because why? Because you don't leave reviews when it's just meh.
I never have.
Never have either.
If there's a product that's whatever even, I don't even leave an Amazon thing. But if it fucking rocks, I'm like, hell yeah. If it sucks, I'm like, fuck you.
Wow, you actually leave reviews when it rocks?
If it rocks, rocks.
It's got leave reviews when I hate it.
It's got a rickety, rickety rock, though.
I only want to warn people. That's the whole concept of this podcast, should they don't tell you. I only want to warn people shit that sucks or that you should avoid.
But have you ever ordered something on Etsy? Because I have. I ordered it for you.
Yeah.
And I was very happy about it. And so then I was left a review.
Oh, that's different.
Because it felt like a real person.
Yeah, a real person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't feel like the man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they always put like a little card in there.
Yeah, they handwrite it.
Thank you so much for your business. I was about to starve to death is how it feels.
Yeah, I would leave a review on Etsy.
There you go.
You're a good person.
Thank you.
But Amazon? No.
I don't really do it on Amazon.
No. Okay.
Except for if it sucks.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I don't associate with people that...
Oh, good. Oh, thank God.
It's all Tulsa magicians and people that leave reviews on Amazon banned.
Well, we apologize.
But who we do like are people that leave reviews on iTunes.
That's for sure. It helps so much. Oh my God, thank
you. It would make my day. It would like change my whole mood around.
Also, check out our Patreon. I do Crypto Corner on there and it's like super fun.
You're like, I'm not leaving a good review for you. You're just droning about how much your day sucks now that you lost the episode. Get back to the topic. Okay, sorry. So it also survivorship bias shows up in buildings and machinery. You know those people that are like, damn, they just don't make it like they used to. They don't make these machines like they used to. They don't make these buildings like they used to.
Yes.
If they're looking at log cabins, they're like, damn, this log cabin has made it for a century or 2 centuries. They don't make log cabins like that anymore. But what you're not seeing are all of the buildings, all of the machines that died in the first couple months.
When they were making them like they used to.
Exactly. When they were making them like they used to, it got destroyed in the first storm.
Yep.
They got termite damage. They got all kinds of shit wrong with them. You're not seeing any of that.
No, you're seeing George Washington's house. Big surprise.
You see a pyramid. You're like, wow, they're so much better at building than us.
Yeah, they built it for the sick people at the time.
Yeah.
For the richest.
We can't even do that now. We don't even have those materials. Like, yes, we do.
Yeah.
We actually
have better materials.
What you're seeing is something that was built to last, and
not like NFL stadiums.
Seeing the rare ones that
they're built to fall apart in 15 years, so they can make money off of the next one.
That's true.
Yeah, give me a break.
Give me a break.
But Green Bay, that stadium,
Lambeau,
stood the test of time, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they built it for outdoor use. Yeah, exactly.
We also see this show up in music and the arts. So music from earlier periods are often thought of as better than music now.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be because only the best music from the period is played now. While today's music, good and bad, is more readily available. It plays all the time.
Yeah, like when you're in the 70s, you're not hearing greatest hits every time you turn on the radio. You're hearing all of it.
Music and you're hearing good music. But now we're only hearing the good music from the 70s.
Well, unless you're on for some reason Spotify, I'm like, what the fuck, guys?
I'm
like, play oldies, and then I'm like, I've never heard the song in my whole life.
Oh, true. I kind of like it though.
I don't like it. I want the hits.
I only don't like it when it's 90s music and I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, see, that happens too. Yeah. And I was there for that.
I didn't ask for like 90s street fair music.
Yeah, what's with that?
I want some bops, man.
Yeah, make my head bang, dude.
Yeah. So that's where the bias comes in, is where like we're only seeing the ones that made it. Like we're basing, and it's really hard not to base your opinion based off what you see, because you weren't there when the shitty music was playing. You weren't there when the shitty buildings were falling apart.
Right.
You were only here now and seeing what you see, and you're like, damn, they had it so good back then.
Yep.
Right. So
you see Yogurtland, but you don't remember Pinkberry.
Right.
Sad.
I forgot about Pinkberry.
Didn't we all? You know why? They were such assholes about the toppings.
They were.
And Yogurtland just fucking stuffed it down their throats.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what? We'll give you every fucking topping you can ever think of in your whole life.
And we'll give you samples.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a bunch of flavors.
Whereas Pinkberry is like, you want a sample? Oh, sorry. Poor people go outside. It was like that.
Yeah, it was. It was very snobby.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's where it comes in. The survivorship bias. There's an analogy with people. Like, this is where most people talk about it in today's terms. Mm-hmm. Is you know, these studying successful people doesn't make you better in succeeding. Like, if you do all the things that successful people do, it doesn't mean you're going to succeed. And but a lot of people think that because they see, they only are looking at the successful people, so they're like, okay, well, you know, they all went to college and got a degree, so obviously if I go to college and get a degree, I'm going to get a great job. You know, and that just doesn't, it just isn't how it is. But this is where I kind of have some issues, and we'll get into that. But yeah, with people, you only see interviews with famous people. You don't see interviews with non-famous people. You only hear motivational speakers. You don't hear the people that failed and now they can't get gigs as a motivational speaker. You're only seeing the best of the best. You're seeing influencers on crazy cool beaches, and you think that all influencers get paid multiple six figures a year, millions of dollars a year. People think that, like, all YouTubers are rich as fuck. Yeah. No, dude, it's like,
even what's his name, the billionaire guy, or the guy who looked like the billionaire, who's like passing it off as a billionaire, who acted like he was like a gambling legend.
Oh yeah,
he just got exposed recently as like being a total fraud. Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter how many times people get exposed, it's like it doesn't
register.
The marketing is too strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you only see what you see. So you're like, okay, yeah, that guy was a fraud, but like, these people are living the fucking life. And if I just get into, if I just become an influencer and get likes and stuff, then I could have that life too. And that's why people buy likes and they buy followers and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And they don't, they're just trying to, they're trying to have that life, right? And then Wikipedia talks about like it showing up in highly competitive careers, whether it's movie stars, athletes, or musicians, or CEOs of multi-billion dollar corporations who dropped out of school. Popular media often tells the story of a determined individual who pursues their dreams and beats the odds. There is much less focus on the many people that may be similarly skilled and determined but fail to ever find success because of factors beyond their control or seemingly random events. This creates a false public perception that anyone can achieve great things if they have the ability and make the effort. The overwhelming majority of failures are not visible to the public eye, and only those who survive the selective pressures of their competitive environment are seen regularly.
What's the point of this?
The point is, people are feeling like they're a piece of shit because they see all these people succeeding and they do the same things as them and they don't have the same level of success. It happened to me too, like with acting.
Blame Mr. Rogers. I don't blame, I mean, frankly.
Yeah.
I actually mean that. It's a bit too, but like, I think the idea that everyone, like, you're just special and no matter what, you're special and you're special.
Yeah.
It just makes people think like, holy fuck, I'm special as hell. And then they, in their 30s or whatever, life hits them hard. Because they're like, wow, not a lot of other people agree.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think that that kind of a way to bring people up is false. I think it's good for some people, obviously, who are told they're pieces of shit all day to hear that, right?
I don't think that's good.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, to hear that they're special, to hear that there's hope from somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that. Like, if all they're hearing is that they're pieces of shit,
yeah,
and they hear somebody come through their television and say, you're special,
yeah,
I think that that's effective. I understand that.
True.
But I think that raising everyone, like, yo, you woke up and you put on your fucking shoes and now you're special. Uh-huh. I just think it's a mistake. And that's all. I just think it creates...
You need adversity. You need...
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to have the conflict.
You need... what's it called? Like, controlled stressors, basically. Like, where it's not so much that it's going to break you, but, like, it's enough to make you stronger.
Just challenge yourself so that you get a little stronger. That's what all that shit's about. But also, the two... What bothers me about this, maybe... And I'm not really that bothered by it, but is the idea that you can just paint over the day-to-day of what somebody did to get ready to achieve something with the word luck, right?
Yes. So, but on the other hand, on the side of survivorship bias is people don't like that people won't acknowledge that there was an element of luck involved, you know, and...
But I've never heard somebody successful, real quick,
uh-huh,
who didn't say, when I got my break.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that some of the survivorship bias stuff is being biased against the people who made it because they don't are not actually listening to them. Because when I hear them, I always hear when I got my break.
That's why I say I have an issue when it comes to people, because with the buildings, with the planes, you know, machinery, I can understand. But when it comes to people, we're emotional creatures, and it's so, to me, it's so different because like you're taking away, we're not pieces of machinery. Like, it's not like we're going to operate exactly the same if you fix this one part. You know, we're all like plasma, mm-hmm. you know, and there's not one right way for yeah, people. So there is always going to be an element of luck. And even anyone listening right now, if you've like any success you've ever had or ever come upon, there was a little bit of luck involved, right? Mm-hmm. And I think people with survivorship bias or that are like talking about the concept of survivorship bias are just like, why don't they at least acknowledge the luck?
I think I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
That's all. And like, I know, like, for example, with Mike Tyson, right? He became like one of the greatest fighters ever. He feels like he was lucky that he ran into Gus D'Amato, who was the guy who trained him, right? And he was the guy who Mike Tyson says is responsible for putting this ferocious beast in him and like made him believe that he could fucking conquer anything and beat anybody, right? But, and you could say it was fortuitous that he met him, and that's just luck. But Mike Tyson had to work out. Mike Tyson had to run. Mike Tyson had to get in the ring. Mike Tyson yeah. had to fight those guys. Like, Mike Tyson built Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson even won't take the credit for it because he's like, I met Gus. And so there's always a symbiosis of like somebody, like no quarterback doesn't have a wide receiver, doesn't have a coach.
Exactly.
Like nobody.
There's always someone helping.
There's no, like even Eminem, he had Dr. Dre, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and Dr. Dre made his sickest beats ever. We all know that.
Every big YouTuber that I've ever known got shouted out by another big YouTuber or had a viral video exactly. or something. But that's, you know, back to the concept of survivorship bias yeah. And like, let's talk about YouTube. You know, they're talking about when you hear like a big YouTuber being interviewed and the person's like, what would you say is like the key to your success on YouTube? Like what advice do you have to give to these people? And they go, if you find your niche and be consistent, that's all you got to do. Eventually you'll make it. That's bullshit, you know, because you can, like, we know people that have found a niche. They're really good at it. You could be very talented. You could have a great personality. You could be very consistent yeah. and you could still not make it.
But it doesn't flow saying yeah. that.
You know what exactly. I mean?
If I'm being interviewed and I'm trying to uplift people, I'm not like, well, doesn't really work like that, does it? No, it doesn't actually. Like, mm-hmm. Can you imagine like being like that? Like people no. would think you're an asshole. So you can't win really in that case.
Right.
Like, because people are just like, well, oh, he's basically telling everyone they can't do it. mm-hmm. Like, is that what the survivorship people bias people want? They want you to just say you can't make it. And I made it because I'm a lucky guy. I mean, that's a way oversimplification, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's kind of,
I think, I'm still learning about it. I mean, I'm going to get to my conclusion thoughts at the end, okay. but so we'll get there. But some other criticisms of survivorship bias is like it's used for ableism. Have you heard of inspiration porn?
That's like what in Instagram yoga people post constantly, like the quotes nonstop.
No, quotes. No. So in this sense, inspiration porn is, but that's a good guess. This is talking specifically about disabled people. There's a term called inspiration porn where it's like the portrayal of people with disabilities as inspirational solely or in part on the basis of their disability. So you hear like people being like, oh, like they're paraplegic and they won a tennis tournament.
Oh, I see.
You know, and the criticisms they have with this is one, that's like an extraordinary thing. It puts a lot of pressure on other disabled people. And also,
why aren't you winning tennis tournaments?
It serves as like mostly a means to inspire abled people. Like this person has no arms and still won a tennis tournament. What's your excuse?
Interesting.
It's like that kind of thing. So it kind of uses disabled people as a prop.
You could say that about so much though, because I remember there was a commercial with Christopher Reeve where they basically used digital like CG stuff to make it look like he got up out of his wheelchair. And that was like hugely inspirational for a lot of people at the time yeah. because that's what he dreamt of. Like that's what he wanted to do. And you could say like this commercial was using him or this product was using him. And like you could just take it to the darkest place if you want to.
You could take anything to the darkest place.
But that's what I mean. Like I think that a lot of this is just like, no, fuck you. Like it's shitty. And it's just like, man, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to, I'm trying to fight for the side of the criticisms of survivorship bias, but I have a lot of the same thoughts as you. And there are supporters.
I'm just learning about it, so I'm just spitballing here.
There are supporters of inspiration porn who talk about how the images actually inspire disabled people because it showcases members of their community making accomplishments. So, like, to me, this is how I would view something like I talked about to you. When I was growing up, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me on TV.
Yeah.
And it really impacted me because I wanted to be an actor, but I didn't see anybody that looked like me on TV. Or when I did, they were like foreign, or they were like the bad guy, or they, you know, it was never like the lead character.
But let me do this horrible thing to you now. Now you watch somebody who looks like you on TV, and then I'm the person sitting behind the group saying, well, this is just inspiration porn. She can't make it. Like, you don't know she's going to make it.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going with this.
No, I understand. I was saying I just find this fascinating.
Yeah, like, that to me, I am on the side of the, like, the people that find it inspiring. Because when I started seeing people like me on TV, I was like, oh, shit, I can do it. Like, I can make it. You know, there's, like, you know that 4 minute mile guy where everyone was like 4 minute mile impossible.
Right.
I think his name was shit. I'm so sorry. I don't remember. Roger Bannister.
Okay.
Roger Bannister. They were like, yeah, 4 minute mile. No human being can run a 4 minute mile. And then in the 1950s, this dude from Oxford runs a 4 minute mile. His name's Roger Bannister. And after that, all these motherfuckers started running 4 minute miles.
Because they thought they could.
Exactly.
Crazy.
It's great. Like, once you know that it can be done, then it's like, oh, maybe I can do it. And maybe you can't. But at least now you have that hope.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
That's why I can't find a lot of, like, yeah, survivorship bias.
Take the hope away.
Exactly. Look. But, you know, I guess, like, maybe it comes from people that are mad that they don't like their life, and they see, like, they just see anyone that has a happy life as just being really lucky.
Yeah, and look, that's a choice, though, I feel. And that sounds dumb to some people, I know that, but I'm talking about if we just choose to see everything as shitty, you can see shitty things all day. But if you choose to try to find the light in things, which I try to do all the time.
Yeah.
Even in my lowest points, right, where I just want to be shitty to things sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I look back and I'm like, why were you doing that? You know what I mean? Like, why?
Right.
Like, it wasn't because – I go back into the psychology of why I was doing it. If you can step on things in front of people and say, see, look, I'm stepping on this and this and this. And, like, I don't need any of this stuff because I – like I'm good where I'm at anyway. So I'm just going to step on your thing that you like.
Yeah, like, if you're good with your thing, then why do you have to step on other people?
Right, let the person who was in a wheelchair win a tennis tournament get a billboard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about the whole thing where it's like we shouldn't celebrate. I'm not saying they're saying not to celebrate, but it just sounds like let's take this away.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel too. And maybe we're the minority. I don't know, but...
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out after this break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, and we're back. In the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, I don't know if you've heard of this book. It's very famous, but it was written a long time ago. But at that time, he interviewed all of the most richest people of the world at that time, like millionaires. I don't think there were a lot of billionaires at this time, but like definitely millionaires. And he noticed that they had a bunch of different common, like, traits in common, like things that, the habits that they all did. Like, there were certain traits that they all did, and a lot of it had to do with mindset. And so I think that if you're just gonna interview someone that just failed at everything they've ever done, or the biggest failure on earth, like, they might not have good advice because maybe they didn't have the mindset that...
What are you there for?
Yeah.
Are you there to learn about failure? Then maybe talk to the world's biggest failure. Sure. But people don't do that, right? We can set up a storefront today, right? Mm-hmm. And we could say, in this building is the world's biggest failure. You can learn everything there is to know about failure. Or next to him, we have Tom Brady. The market's going to take care of this situation. I'm just saying, that's how people are. Or even not just Tom Brady. Here's a successful author. Here's a guy who just sold a book. Here's a guy who just sold a movie. Here's a guy who invented aerodynamics.
But so that's what the survivorship bias people are talking about, that we are biased towards listening to these people who have succeeded over these people who may have more to offer that we'll never know.
No, but they don't have more to offer as far as, of course they have more to offer, right? Of course.
Maybe.
But not about success.
Yeah.
And that's what people want. When people listen to motivational speakers, mm-hmm. they're not there to listen to somebody who's going to tell them the harsh reality about the world. They're there to get motivated about something,
exactly.
right? They're not there to hear from a guy who didn't make it at motivational speaking and who, like, couldn't hack it and keep a crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
They want to hear from somebody who can motivate them. And it goes into every field. Nobody wants to learn about failure, bro. I promise you.
Plus, like, you're interviewing Brad Pitt, right? So Brad Pitt could tell you all about that too. Like, I mentioned this earlier, but there's a notorious story about Brad Pitt in the acting world where he got banned from Central Casting, which is like the biggest agency that casts all the extras in everything you've ever seen ever. Like, any TV show or movie that you've seen, Central Casting probably casted the extras, the people in the background that are walking back and forth. Brad Pitt was an extra with Central Casting, and he got mad about something. Like, I don't remember what it was, but he got mad about something, and he threw a chair at the window of the building, and they banned him from being an extra. They're like, you'll never work in this town again.
And he did. He sure did.
And now he's Brad Pitt.
He failed from that moment, and he overcame the failure, and that's way more interesting.
It's just way more interesting.
It just is. It's just life. It's like when I watch a movie, I don't want to watch a movie that it goes from being sad to getting mm-hmm. sadder to getting sadder to getting sadder. And then it ends with no hope.
Yeah.
They make those movies, and some directors out there love to fucking jerk their dicks making those movies. And they're like, I'm so fucking advanced. I'm doing shit nobody else is doing. But people every time want to go somewhere. They see someone having a bad time. It turns into a better time. And maybe then it has a bad
time
again.
Dip, yeah.
There's a dip. There's a conflict, right? They overcome it. And then we see how the character overcame that and became a hero or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we want to
see. Or learned from it, grew from it.
It's the Iliad. It's like the fucking hero's journey. It's the way that the world works is people inside of them, they all want to be better than they are, no matter who the fuck they are. Or why does Michael Jordan even still have a shoe business? He's already a billionaire. He could just kick it, do whatever the fuck he wants. Why is he still working? Why do these people do it? It's because they want to be even better than they are. And that's motivating for people. It mm-hmm. just is.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the only way to assure failure, like concrete failure, is to quit. Otherwise, you haven't really failed yet. You're just in transition between something that didn't work.
Dude, I don't think anybody knew who Bryan Cranston was But now we all know him.
I know him from his, like, he was on King of Queens.
He was also on Power Rangers. But I'm saying.
He was on Malcolm in the Middle.
He wasn't. No, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. He made it when he was like a 40-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and he became the most beloved when he was like in his 50s.
I always think about, because my manager used to send me articles, the one that sued me that I didn't really like, but he used to try to be a motivator, and he would send articles about like, oh, like nobody knows the actors that almost made it. And it's so true. And I would think about that all the time, how like you could get so close to making it on like as a lead on a movie or a pilot, or like maybe you made it and they even picked up the pilot and then it got canceled.
Yep.
And nobody knows who you are, but like you've been in the game the whole time. And I think like that's a lot of where the people are coming from. We're like, I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and yeah, I almost made it, and I should have made it, and I didn't, and I don't believe in the game anymore, right?
Right.
But I think about like Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
How he got cast as James Bond, or almost got cast as James Bond.
I told you this story.
Yeah, you did.
I'm a legend.
You're legendary. Legendary is the gaping asshole, bright light that you are.
Thank you.
Your asshole is like the tunnel, and then you're the bright light in the center. I can see, I'm visualizing it. Because you said it was in your center, and that's where the asshole ends. Mm-hmm. At the end of every asshole is a bright light.
That makes sense.
But especially yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So Henry Cavill, Cavill.
Comes this close to being James Bond.
James Bond, yeah. And doesn't make it. Imagine you're almost James Bond and then you're not. And James Bond billboards are everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. Adele's fucking singing about it. And you're like, that was almost me. I think a lot of people would lay down their sword. Then they'd be like, fight's over. Fuck it. This is as close as I've ever been. Survivorship bias. You just like, you have to have luck. You have to like have something extra. But did he do that? No, he didn't. And then he went on to become Superman. So
that's what it would have been like if I got to tell that story without you giving away that he was Superman at the beginning of the story. Because that's what happened during my James Bond episode.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Are you mad at me?
I just heard it out loud, and I was like, that's so much better than the way I got to tell
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm a better storyteller.
Yeah, probably that's what it is.
You said some things that I was going to save for the end, so maybe even.
I didn't know.
Yeah, but I didn't know either, fuckface.
I know. It just happens sometimes.
So, yeah, happens sometimes, okay? Yeah. So don't judge our fucking podcast. Give us five stars, please.
Give us 5 stars.
We need it.
Yeah.
We need it. Save our marriage. Okay, so what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And then I always fucking feel bad for, like, I actually do want to interview this guy. There's probably interviews with him, but the guy that was supposed to be Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. Eric, fuck is his name. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Has he done interviews? Because, like.
I think he has. Yeah, well, he also actually, funny enough, did okay outside of it. Like,
devastated.
He did a bunch of different roles, but yeah, obviously he didn't become a legend like Michael did.
But a really good book on this is Failing Forward by John C. Maxwell. It's super, super good. It examines like how much the successful people you know have failed, and he brings up so many examples and so many. It's just such a great book, and it normalizes failing. Like, I think a lot of people are so scared of failing, and maybe that's why this has become a little bit more popular, because it's like, oh, well, a survivorship bias, like I shouldn't even try, because
there's a lot of that,
because like people are just getting lucky and I'm no fool. Okay.
Yeah. And this is like another version of porn for that. Like, it's like there's no point porn, like basically, where it's like, oh no, I can just escape to here because now I don't have to face myself or whatever.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that just the whole being scared to fail thing stops a lot of people from trying.
Yeah.
And I think the only way you don't succeed is not to try. Not the only way. Sorry. The only way you fail is to quit. And the only way to succeed is to try. But a lot of people are so scared of failing that they don't even try to succeed.
Yeah, we see it all the time.
And they're scared of looking stupid. I mean, especially in our industry, when you first told your family or your friends that you wanted to go to LA to be an actor, like, what was the reaction?
You know, family was good. They were cool.
That's cool.
They were cool. But they were the backup plan where it got brought up a bunch.
Yeah.
Right. But it was never like too crazy.
I remember talking about like being an actor, and the joke was, oh, yeah, you're an actor. Where do you waitress?
Yeah, of course.
And then, of course, I was a waitress, too. So yeah, I was you're like,
right here. I'm. What are you ordering?
Yeah, what would you like?
We want the nuggets?
Did you want the half size or the full salad?
So.
The half size is pretty filling, so I recommend it.
Would you like to hear my monologue now? Now that you've ordered?
Yeah.
With a twinkle in your eye?
All smugly?
Yeah.
So I still find it motivating for exactly all the reasons you said, is that whenever I'm feeling down or I feel like, fuck, I just tried something and I fell on my face, I want to hear about people who fell on their face and then picked themselves back up and made it. Like, yeah, that's,
I don't like this dour,
I don't want to hear the people that stayed on their face.
I was just doing Crypto Corner last night with everybody, right? And there's always people who are like, I'm FOMOing, like, fuck, I missed it, I'm not going to make it.
Crypto Corner, for those of you who don't know, is a segment on Patreon that Steve does about crypto.
Yeah. And live with
holds your hand and takes you through it. And it's really great.
So, but the point of it is I try to teach all the Crypto Corner heads, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not in this to make up for the past, right? We're in this right now because this is a whole movement. You haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
So I could easily be one of these people and be like, yeah, well, you're just not going to make it like some other people are going to make it. That sucks. And I don't want to say that, and I don't think that.
Yeah.
Because I think that everyone can fucking win. I think that wins are always going to be different for different people.
Yeah.
But I think everyone can fucking win. And I think no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what your race is, no matter what your sexuality is, all that shit, you can fucking win. And your win is just as significant as anybody else's if that's what you set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I mean, yeah, the odds can be against you. The odds are against you. If you're not born into the richest family, like, it's like poker. It's like you can get dealt a hand that's like, you got a pair of aces in the fucking pocket.
Sure.
You could still lose to two pairs, a pair of fives and threes.
Yep.
To someone that's holding they got dealt a shittier hand than you, but the shitty hand person can still make it. And I like those stories.
And there are examples everywhere, which is a good thing, of people who won. In every category that you can think of.
Yep.
People who have won, who have found success in every category that you can think of.
Because otherwise, it's just that thing that I was talking about earlier where it was like, oh, no one looks like me on TV. I can't be an actor.
Exactly.
I remember wanting to be a boy, not because I was trans and like felt like I was actually a boy, but because I wanted to be a comedian, and all the comedians I saw, like Jim Carrey, like all my idols were all men. And I really thought like, I can't be a comedian. Like,
right.
I can't be an actor or a comedian. Nobody looks like me.
The most famous person in the world when I was a child was Michael Jordan. And nobody, he was undeniable.
You mean failed baseball player Michael Jordan?
Exactly. He failed hardcore at it. But that's what I'm saying. He was undeniable.
Yeah.
Was there racism then? Of course. Was there like all the limitations that he had against him? Obviously.
Yeah.
Did he win anyway? Fuck yeah, he did. And he won hard. Mm-hmm. And he became the most popular person in the fucking world. At the time. I mean, he still is a household name.
And that's what I like, is that it's not that it's guaranteed. If it was guaranteed, that would be boring.
Right.
It's not that it's guaranteed. It's that you can. It's like that there's a chance that you can if you try.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I do.
Maybe I have survivorship bias because I like to pay attention to the people that have tried really hard and made it.
But we don't sit here and go, oh my God, we made it. I've never had that thought.
No one that makes it thinks that.
No, I've never
especially
had that
if
thought.
They weren't born making it. Like, no one sits easy and is like, ha, they're always on to the next. Because if you do have that mindset where you like need to build and achieve and grow and stuff, it's quitting, going to retirement is like the most depressing thing.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, they're always on to the next. Look at Warren Buffett. He's like 90 years
Why
old.
Why work anymore?
Something like that.
Go to a beach forever.
Yeah.
But he couldn't.
No, he loves it.
And I can't either. Like,
he loves what he's doing. And that to me has always been my biggest motivator, is that I would rather be broke as fuck pursuing something that I love, pursuit of happiness, right? Just pursuing something that I love, even if I just fucking fail over and over and over again and I have no money and like, it's, you know, I would rather be doing that than go to a guaranteed life of unhappiness.
What I like to do too, if I'm getting into too silly mode, like as far as like too serious mode,
yeah,
about myself or about maybe something like this that maybe I'm mad at something, or I'm like, you know what? It's fucked up because I could have done that, but I didn't get to do it. Mm-hmm. I do that monologue. Like, this is fucked up because I could have done that and I didn't get to do it. And I can't believe that they got to do it. They're not nearly as good as me. Like, they suck. I've seen these this hack-ass shit work before, and it's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
I always imagine the camera flipping around and I'm giving this monologue to a baby. That is just blinking at me and has no idea.
Aww.
Because then it just reminds you.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I doing?
Your rant is silly.
It's just, who is this for?
We're going to be dust in 50 years.
Exactly. You might as well live as hard as you can. Try to get what you want out of life.
Yeah, and try. I mean, to me and you, we've talked about this. Like, we think the meaning of life is the meaning you put into life.
Yes.
And I have to have passion. Like, I have Same. To have something I'm working on that's passionate. And even when I'm like, I don't know if it's going to work, like, I just have to try, because they say there's a saying in the like motivational speaker world that's like, don't quit 3 feet away from gold. Meaning, like, if you're digging all, like, years and years of digging for gold, and then you're like, there's no fucking gold here, and it was like 3 feet away from you, like, it was all, you were almost there.
And that's what I try to tell all the Bigfoot guys. I'm like, don't quit 3 feet away from Bigfoot.
That's too many big feet.
You're right there. You're right. He's just in the next hedge.
Don't quit 3 big footprints away from Bigfoot.
You're right there. That's the point. Don't stop looking for Bigfoot. Nobody's found him yet. You would be a household name instantly if you found him.
Yeah. But I feel this way about people have commented, like, you know, with relationship stuff too. It's like, Nikki and Steve, like, what if you guys just got lucky? Like, what if there's no one out there for me? What if I should settle with my shitty boyfriend or my shitty girlfriend?
Of course we got lucky.
Yeah, there's an element of luck.
Key to that is, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I've always believed that.
Yes.
So because of me being shitty to some other people, like, as mm-hmm. far as immature, and like, I wasn't ready to be in a relationship, like, in my early 20s, mm-hmm. maybe, right? And then...
And people being shitty to you.
People being shitty to me, and me being distrustful, and then carrying that in my next relationship, like, all that kind of stuff, right?
We had the same relationship history.
Because I had all that preparation, by the time I got to you, I knew what I wanted, and then it was like, it was luck that we got together when we did. The timing was lucky,
I thought.
But the fact that it worked out so well is because the work we put into it.
Yeah. Like, I know, and that we had both decided, like, we're not going to do that old relationship again. Like, when we both exited our old relationships, we were like, well, I'm not doing that again.
And they're not there for the work, right?
Yeah.
For that first year where we had a tough time, we're like figuring each other out and like working on our relationship.
There's a lot of screaming.
Working on each other, right? Yeah. It was not easy.
I wrote into shit that they don't tell you, and I was like, we scream at each other a lot.
You know, it was just like that. We were just taking out old shit on each other, but we stuck it out.
But the element that, and this is why I'm like, I feel you can call it survivorship bias, but I feel like there's a lot to learn from this resource, is that we've been in the shitty relationships. We know what that's like. And then we have this one where our partner is willing to communicate with us
constantly.
And when we have a disagreement, maybe people get like a little heated, but we know that we have each other's backs,
yes.
and that there's communication.
Yes.
And so we want to impart that onto other people. If you do not have this element, the communication element, mm-hmm. then I don't think.
And the having back thing.
And the having your back thing.
Yeah.
And you can't develop that within your relationship. Yep. I don't think it's worth it. I think you're going to both be miserable with,
like,
each other.
If somebody was to talk shit on me and I'm not in the room,
I would slit their throat.
There, she would fucking go ballistic, and same here. So that's the thing. And I know that, like, if I ever saw some recording of Nikki talking shit on me, I'd be like, when was this shot?
I mean, we roast each other,
but you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
not real.
Actually,
yeah.
I would be like, this is impossible.
Like,
I never had a relationship like that ever, by the way.
I just talked about his gaping asshole.
Well, that's not talking
shit.
That's
a compliment, though.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
A lot of people look for that.
Yeah. So a lot of people stretch their assholes trying to get it as big
as yours. They try to prepare
it
for that. And I just got one. I got lucky.
So I think, in conclusion, I think survivorship is good to be aware of, especially in engineering.
Yeah.
And to not be blind, to not be blind to failure by studying survivors, to not think that, you know, failure is impossible just because you see all these people succeeding, to be mindful of, like, the journey that people took to get there, that when you're looking at Instagram images of people living their best lives, like, they're not showing you the struggle part. In fact, actually, that's what I started my vlog channel based on, because people were like, you should vlog, you should vlog. And I noticed that all the vloggers were like vlogging their glamorous lives. Like, just like, it's so exciting every fucking day. And I'm like, my life's not exciting. I'm just going to vlog my boring life. And I thought it was kind of like a good bit, like kind of like I'm the anti-vlogger vlogging. And I just showed like my daily life as an actor that you don't know yet, like an actor that hasn't made it, like what that's actually like, not the actor that's already made it. And they tell you about how they struggled going to auditions in their cars and all this stuff. I'm actually vlogging in my car to auditions while driving, every day.
While not looking at the
road. I had a camera holder.
When people hear that, that's what they do.
People get mad, but I had a camera holder.
I know that.
You could go back and watch those vlogs, youtube.com/Nikki. But anyway, I would tell it like it is. Like, today I had a shitty audition. I did very mediocre. I don't think I booked it. Like, I got ready. I drove across town. I got a parking ticket, you know, like the day-to-day life. And then I showed like when I did book something and how cool it was and how exciting it was, because you don't know if you're ever going to book something. I went 7 years without booking a commercial.
But nobody listens to this part because it's honestly the most boring part.
No, but that's why we became a party channel over on the vlog channel, because it's like...
Yeah, I know.
Just the... And it still is like that. It still is the daily life.
But the point of it is that like... People skip over that part and they want to get to the good parts about the success and all that stuff naturally, because people want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about the...
Sometimes.
Well, I'm talking about like, in, I think as far as the market goes, I think people want to hear about like, that's why TMZ exists.
To get motivated.
And, yeah, exactly.
It depends on what mood you're in, because people are getting very depressed now. And I think this is why these concepts are being talked about, being very depressed, because they look on Instagram and see everyone's highlight reel and they want to know, like, are there any normal, real, like, what, like, are there any day to day people like me? Like, there's no relatability to in watching someone, you know, swim in gold.
Right.
You know? And so when you showcase, like, I love just documenting the day to day, like when you go back and watch those old vlogs, like we're living in a half a room size studio apartment. It's like tiny, and we are the same people. Yeah, we're the same people.
Same motivation, same, like, yeah, exactly.
And so like vlogging the journey without knowing if it's going to end in success. It could end in failure. You don't know. You know, we don't know. I liked that it wasn't like a hero's journey that was all set in stone, that like, you know how it's going to end. Like, it's just like, hey, we're all just people living our lives.
Yeah, that's all we're trying
but
to do.
But yeah, when you're in the mode for inspiration, it's like, don't poo-poo on the people that are looking for inspiration either.
Don't just call it luck either, man.
Yeah.
You have to recognize the full story, or else you're just simplifying just writing people everything. Off. Yeah, writing it all off. And it's just too easy. Like, I know people who are like, man, you got lucky with crypto. And I'm like, bro, you have no fucking idea what I went through with crypto. You have absolutely no idea. And they never will.
Yeah, I know. I know some of the backstory, but I still won't know the full details.
No, like, way.
It's probably way worse because you hide a lot of sad things from me.
Yeah, sure. But that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, you have to go through all of it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, because I learned so much early on, I'm able to be much better at it now. But that's only because I learned from that early on.
Yeah.
And that's all.
And even non-glamorous professions, like how many people out there right now, you went to college, you got your degree, you have a job, maybe you like your job, you love your job. How many people, like if someone right now was like, yeah, but you just got fucking lucky because I went to college and I didn't get a job. Like it takes away everything that you worked for. All of those nights you studied, you crammed, you got a degree, those jobs you applied for and didn't get, the times you were like, had a really shitty interview with someone, and then you finally got your job and someone's like, you just got lucky.
You know who got lucky? And I think it's in a complimentary way. I like to look at luck as compliment, by the way, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, I like to. I don't always take it like that, right? Like I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody was born into a family where the family taught them how to run a business.
Yeah.
I think they got lucky.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
I would die for
that. I think
they
got really lucky. Okay. And I think that's a good thing. Yeah. And I think that their parents did a good thing. It's not like they're handing them in this knowledge and like, oh, it's now you're lucky. It's mm-hmm. like, no. Now you know how to build something, how to work, mm-hmm. how to get what you want out of life through a system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those people are lucky, and it's a huge compliment to their parents.
Yeah. I mean, there's all forms of that, because There's also like cultures where you have to do what your parents do for work, you know?
Right.
And they teach you their skill and like, yeah, you learned a skill, but that's the only skill you're allowed to learn.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, like I agree. I get motivated by knowledge and learning and trying and failing.
Yeah, man. And just, I don't know. Just don't be lazy out there. Don't just oversimplify everything. It's too boring.
Yeah. And it's not, boring. And it's, to me, it's not that, it's not, hey, here's all the thing. Here's 10 habits all millionaires I interviewed do. If you do these 10 habits, you are guaranteed to be a millionaire. It's not that. It's just that it increases your odds. That like maybe there's something to it.
Yeah. And dude, all of these assholes always talk about how they failed at a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't. I don't know anyone who doesn't except for Kanye West.
So maybe I'm missing something with survivorship bias. I watched a lot of videos and read a lot of things. And I think that was like the most that I heard of it. And those are my thoughts on it. Those are our thoughts on it. But, you know, if I'm missing something, if you have a really good argument for survivorship, being anti-survivorship bias,
send it to our PO box or we'll drop it into a fucking fire.
No, we won't. Fires are dangerous.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's all we got for you guys today.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and subscribe, share it with your friends, and we'll see you. We hope our podcast survives. Otherwise, you know.
Survivorship bias.
Well, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.